Hey guys, my name is Sabir Bharti. A very warm welcome to another episode of the Sabir Bharti Show, the place where I interview interesting people with interesting perspectives. My guest today is Dr. Amanda Adkins, that's spelled A-M-A-N-D-A, Adkins spelled A-D-K-I-N-S, on Instagram at Dr. Amanda Adkins. On YouTube, you can also search for Dr. Amanda Adkins using the full name, which is Dr. Amanda Adkins. On Facebook, facebook.com/Dr. Amanda Adkins, and her website, which is dramandamd.com. Dr. Amanda Adkins, MD, which stands for Doctor of Medicine, is a board certified internal medicine physician, health coach, and founder of Enlightenment Health and Wealth. Dr. Amanda Adkins obtained her certification in plant-based nutrition from the well-respected T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies in the US and believes there is immense power behind choosing a plant-based lifestyle. Dr. Amanda is on a mission to help women who are overweight prevent and possibly reverse chronic illnesses such as diabetes, heart disease, and high blood pressure. So much to delve into over the next hour or so. So a very warm welcome to Dr. Amanda Adkins. Hello.
Hello. Thank you, Sabir, for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
No, thank you so much for joining me. I've been really looking forward to this conversation. As you know, we've been speaking off air on email over the past month or so. And it's been really good connecting with you and super excited about what's to come in the next hour or so. I want to start by asking you about something that we spoke about over email that really struck me. You said life is a gift that we share with others. We were not placed on this earth to only help ourselves. Could you perhaps delve into this a little more for us?
Yes. So I believe that we're all interconnected. And if we just think of ourselves only, the world would not exist, right? We all need each other, not only to just for our own health, but also for the world to run. It also, I believe that if we are selfish and we don't actually give away our gifts and our knowledge, then others will perish, whether it's mentally, physically, or actually spiritually. So we definitely need to reach out to others, especially in a world that seems so what is our world going through at this time? So much anger, so much tension, so much sadness, that I think if each one reach another person and just genuinely connect with them, that the world definitely would be a better place. And we just need more of that.
Sure, no, absolutely. And I also want to tie in another discussion that we had over email. And I saw this on your material online as well, the fact that you pay very close attention and you believe that there is tremendous power in holding on to spirituality and faith. And you believe that these two components can actually lead to a healthy life and an abundant one as well. Mm-hmm. How do you find dealing with those two aspects in your life, in your professional life? And how do people take that on board when you discuss that with them?
Yeah, so I grew up a spiritual person. So my father is actually a minister. And so in just growing up, knowing that there's a higher power, God, that you actually reach out to actually get you through this life. Because like I said before, if we don't reach out and actually help others and ourselves, that it actually is a very deep, dark life, I should say. So if you know and hope in something that's greater than yourself, it actually helps lighten your own load. And if we actually are not stressed or bogged down mentally, it actually in turn can help our physical health. And a lot of people that come into the office, they may not necessarily have something physically going on. They have physical manifestations, but it is a very much spiritual and mental battle that's going on. And sometimes you can bring that to light for people because they think, oh no, it's definitely just my stomach. There's something wrong with my stomach. And you can do every test in the world and let them know. It's like, you know, they may think, oh, well, I guess, you know, I have been going through, you know, X, Y, and Z lately. Maybe that is really playing a role. And if we actually, you know, understand that deeper, we can definitely make ourselves better overall. I've been going through a lot more deeper into this because I actually work with a meditation teacher now. And we build up so much, I would say, emotional baggage over the years. So just decades of building that up, and that we don't necessarily let it go. We just kind of try to push it back and or push it down. And eventually that's going to have to come out. You're going to overflow, right? So you have to actually learn how to release this and release it in a positive manner that actually can help you feel lighter and therefore decrease the stress in your own body to actually go on. And most people are very open to this. They may not necessarily believe the same faith that I have, but they definitely believe in something higher than themselves. And it takes on more of a role. And once they realize that, then their spirit actually gets lighter. So I believe that my spirit and, you know, whoever I'm talking to, spirit, will actually connect on a deeper level when they actually hear from my heart to theirs.
Yeah. And this leads very nicely on to my next question, which I wanted to ask you, which is all to do with your mission. And it's a powerful mission. And I did mention it in the introduction, but I'd just like to mention it again for anyone who missed it at the beginning. So your mission is to help women who are overweight prevent and possibly reverse chronic illnesses such as diabetes, heart disease, and blood pressure. Why is a plant-based diet the answer for this, in your opinion?
Because that's what I actually did for myself. So actually seeing that and seeing it work in so many other people's lives, that it is actually the most beneficial because most time people don't have too many negative side effects from that compared to when we give medication, or if you try to do these different fad diets where you just eat or drink smoothies all the time or something like that to lose weight. It's not going to be sustainable. I think that eating a whole food, plant-based lifestyle and food, that it's sustainable for a lifetime. You can have a lifetime well into your 90s and 100 years old without feeling those negative effects. I think I've heard positive things and felt positive things from actually doing this myself. So that's why I will continue to promote it all the way until my 100 years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's a wonderful mission. And I'm glad that it's working for you as well. Now, I want to go back to your earlier years, and particularly a moment in your life that you found to be profound. And it was at the age of 14, I believe. And it was a moment in your gym class. Could you perhaps delve into this experience and what happened and why you found it to be so profound?
Yes. So I was, like I said, 14 years old, freshman in high school. You know how you already feel as a freshman, like you're going to be picked on anyway because you're the low person on the totem pole, per se, in this school full of teenagers. And during this time in gym class, we were doing a presidential physical fitness test, and you had to get on the scale. And at the time, you know, I didn't really know how much I weighed or didn't really pay attention. I knew I felt bad and I knew I looked overweight, but I didn't know exactly how overweight I was until I stepped on the scale and I was 199 pounds. And that was the turning point for me, because I was like, I'm never going to let the two be the first number of my weight. And then seeing family members that are overweight, and as they got older, they develop the chronic illnesses, the heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, and cancers. So I knew I had that in my genes, and I'm like, okay, I cannot do this. And I say that's the most profound, because if I didn't have to get on that scale that day in gym class, I don't think I would have changed my lifestyle at that time, and probably wouldn't be here talking to you today. I'll probably be in, you know, far worse health than I am now. And probably my family members would be too, because I actually try to emphasize to them the importance of lifestyle at this point in time.
Yeah, no, I really do find these kind of stories really inspiring. And I had a similar situation about 3 years ago. So before I moved location, so I used to live down south in the United Kingdom, and I moved up here to the north about 3 years ago. And just before I moved, about a year, yeah, about 12 months before I moved, I wasn't eating well. My diet was terrible. I was junking out, and I paid the price. And it was only when I moved here that I realized how far off the track I had gone. And I decided to go on this 3 month weight loss program, which I did at a local gym with a trainer here. And it was great. And it was the first time in my life that I actually started paying attention to the relationship that I had with food. And I managed to lose considerable weight. And I also learned a hell of a lot about dieting. So that was kind of the catalyst for me to really start gaining a curiosity into different types of food. And about 6 months after the program finished, I started getting this curiosity for plant-based diets, but I haven't yet taken the step to actually cross over from my normal diet to a plant-based diet. But it's something that really intrigues me, because when you look at a plant-based diet, it's all natural foods. And of course, natural foods are going to be great for you. But the problem I'm having at the moment is, one, letting go of the meat aspect. So I've been eating chicken and beef for most of my life. I'm finding it difficult to switch. And the second aspect is the junking out. Now, 80% of my diet is fairly good. However, one, I've got a massive sweet tooth. like a massive sweet tooth. And secondly, when I get a craving for either chocolates or takeaway, greasy takeaway foods, I find it very difficult, immensely difficult to say no. So that's the main battle that I need to get over first, I think. So I just wanted to ask, I guess, your advice. What would you say should be the first step for me if I'm wanting to cross over to a plant-based diet?
So the first step is just, like you said, being curious, because some people aren't even open to actually even going that route. And then I would definitely have you look at what you're actually eating and see how you can add in more plant-based options at this point in time. So if you're a person that, you know, like you said, meat has been the pure part of your diet all your life, I would challenge you on that. You probably didn't eat meat when you were younger that much, but in your adult life, but I would actually have you do that and then see how you feel, because I think people don't realize that they may feel maybe not the best. You may have seen that you feel better with you changing out from the junk food to a more healthier lifestyle. But then if you add in more fruits and vegetables, you may even start to feel better. And that's the reinforcement for people that are more on the whole food plant basis, that you don't realize how bad you felt until you actually start to feel very good. More energy, you feel lighter, you're sleeping better, things like that, that you would actually want to see. I can, you know, quote, you know, all these different things that would go on, but until you actually feel it in your own body, it's hard to convince you of the thing. So some people, like I said, they are kind of skeptical, like, yeah, I probably may try that, but I'm always going to eat my meat. Until they're like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't realize how much, you know, I would get stomach aches or how much I would get headaches. And then once I actually changed what I was eating more to plant-based, I didn't actually get all those feelings anymore. And when they start to go back to that, they're like, oh, I'm starting to feel like this again, achy, my stomach hurts, I get headaches. What did I do that made me feel better? And then they realize, oh, I added this back into my diet. Let me see if I can cut it out again. And then they start to feel better again. And they just kind of go down this path of like maybe going a little bit back to go forward a bit more, a little bit back to go a little bit forward more. And before you know it, you'll be all the way to the end. And maybe not 100% totally plant-based, but maybe like 90-10.
Yeah. No, that actually sounds very good. And that's great advice. And I think that could work well with me because often I'm either saying to myself, I need to go all in, or I don't do it at all. But you're right. Maybe I need to start taking these small steps, introducing, as you said, more vegetables, more fruit. And that's those two types of food I don't have enough of, I have to admit. My fruit intake and my vegetable isn't great. I maybe have, well, at the moment I have one piece of fruit, normally a banana in the morning as part of my breakfast shake. But after that, there's not much fruit involved. I have a lot of salads, but not enough vegetables. So yeah, you've just inspired me for my next grocery run. I may have to do that tonight or tomorrow morning.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
And that's, like I said, that's the most problem that people have, is that they don't add in the fruits and vegetables. And that's why I always tell people that's where you want to start. You don't necessarily have to focus on, oh, I'm just going to cut out the meat. No, let's add in what you need first, so you start to feel better, and then slowly decrease that meat out. And you'll definitely notice the difference.
Yeah, for sure. No, I appreciate that advice. Thank you so much. This also leads nicely actually onto what I wanted to ask you next. So I believe at the age of 16, you decided to become a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. What prompted this decision for you?
I get this question a lot. It was nothing that was profound, because most people think that it was something that was like, oh, did you see how animals were being treated or something like that. It was a challenge to myself, basically. I had been eating meat my whole life. My father was a meat delivery truck driver, so we ate all the processed meats, bacon, sausage, bologna, all those types of things. And I was like, I'm just going to see if I can just eat vegetables. So I remember my first vegetarian meal, I believe, was some canned peas and corn or something like that, because we had that in the cabinet. And I just like, I'm just going to see how long I can do this. So it was a challenge to myself. And that's why I know that adding in some of these fruits and vegetables definitely can make you feel better, because I did. Like, I started to feel better. I was losing more weight, getting more compliments. So, you know, for, you know, a teenage girl, that's actually, you know, very reinforcing. So it was just a simple challenge to myself. And as I look back, as we talked about spirituality and faith, I think that played a big role in to my curiosity at the time, because it was like, okay, I'm going to do this. But then I think it was working, God was working higher for what I needed to do in the future. Because like I said, if I didn't have those pivotal points, I wouldn't be here today. So I'm here talking about that now, to emphasize for people, you never know what you go through in the past that is preparing you for your future, to be there to help others. Again, that goes back to why I'm interchanging the questions that you asked me, because I believe that we're all here to help someone else. Because if you would have met me, you know, 14, 16 year old, I was not someone that would just volunteer to come out and speak to anyone. I would say even into my 30s, I would not volunteer to come out and speak to someone about what was going on. But it's just the deeper mission, the calling that I feel that's on my life at this point in time, to come out and help others, to just live a healthier life, because we're here. Someone else needs you. Someone else needs your knowledge. Someone else needs your information, and you need to be healthy enough to give that information to them so they can actually thrive, so they can actually help someone else thrive also.
Yeah. Now, talking to people, I was having a browse of your online content, and I love the delivery. You're very confident and passionate about what you speak about, which is, of course, discussing and promoting a plant-based lifestyle and all the benefits associated with it. Let's talk about your Instagram, first of all. How are you finding the experience of posting messages on social? Do you find it quite easy to translate your thoughts to an audience on your social platforms?
I would say no. I think it's kind of evolving. It's very hard when you just have to have something static that's there. Because some people may take it in a different manner than what you actually want to put out. So that's why, again, I come out and try to do these things. I try to do videos so people can actually hear what I'm actually saying. but it's always a work in progress. I never know how it comes across to people until like someone may, you know, reinforce and say, oh my gosh, you know, I heard your, you know, video about X, Y, and Z, and it's inspired me to do such and such. And I was like, okay, maybe this is, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing. Cause other times you hear nothing, or, you know, just some spam type stuff. So I never know how it actually would hit the person. So it's always good to hear if someone says that they actually listened to it and they actually felt inspired. Like, oh, I know I need to do that. I keep hearing in my mind every time I'm doing something, I hear you in my background. So that's definitely inspiring. But it is hard to, since you don't have that interaction with someone, if it's actually making a difference, or if you're, you know, using the right words to actually hear, for someone to hear what you're actually trying to get across. So in the days of social media, you have to put it out there. Otherwise, no one's ever going to know about you, to actually hear your story.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's how we connected online, through another platform. And, you know, as you said, it's so easy to put your work out there. That's how I learned more about you. Went to your profile, you shared your work. And that's how we made this conversation happen today. Now, because we did mention Instagram, for everyone watching and listening, just a quick reminder again about Dr. Amanda Adkins on Instagram. You can follow her there using her Instagram handle at Dr. Amanda Adkins, spelled Dr. and then A-M-A-N-D-A, Adkins, A-D-K-I-N-S. And I will mention all of other Dr. Amanda Adkins' social links towards the end of the show as well. And a reminder, I will include it in the show description at the bottom of the YouTube description and the podcast description for everyone who's listening to this episode as well. Right, Dr. Amanda, I want to come back to one of our conversations again that we had on email. And you mentioned something which I found to be quite poignant. You said you can't out-exercise a bad diet. And this actually made me chuckle to myself. And the reason for this is because I'm very much guilty of this myself. Now, whenever I indulge in, as we were saying earlier, chocolates, and I can have a whole chocolate bar throughout a whole day if I wanted to. And often it happens because, as I said, I've got a very bad sweet tooth. So if I do that, or I junk out, get a takeaway, a greasy takeaway, the justification that I give myself is I'll go to the gym tomorrow and run it off. Now, while that may work in some instances, I find that the more I say that to myself, the harder it is to abstain from these foods, which we know are not good for us in the long run. So, and I want to ask your advice again, because you've been through something similar in your younger years and you've managed to overcome it. Any tips and advice, or strategies or tactics that I can use, that are different to what I'm doing right now?
Yeah. So I have to say, I stole that quote from one of the doctors that I went to a nutrition conference from. That was another pivotal point in my journey, because I was the same way. It was like, all the thing we thought about was the amount of calories we were eating. And if we can just go burn those off at the gym, or, you know, I was doing half marathons at the time. So I was like, I can just train for another half marathon and I'll burn these calories off. But it wasn't until that they actually showed what it was doing to the inside of your body. Again, going back to the chronic illnesses I was trying to avoid, that the cholesterol builds up, the inflammation builds up in the arteries, you're damaging those. And even in the brief period of time, which I want to, you know, put this out there, I don't want to be a hypocrite. There's time that I actually junk out too. I'm not 100% all the time either. So just to know you're not alone, that we all have those struggles, and maybe at different levels at different times. But to know that, and in your mind, you kind of actually think of it longer term, like, okay, is this actually helpful or hurtful for my body at the time? And again, there may be, you know, 10, 15, 20% of the time that you're like, I don't care. This is just going to make me feel better. I'm going to do it. And I know at this point in time, it may not be the best thing, but mentally, how I'm feeling, this is what's going to actually happen. But as you get, like I said, further on your journey, you actually look and say, what else can I do? Can I actually go to the gym instead of eating that chocolate bar if I'm feeling stressed? Why am I eating it? Am I eating it because I'm stressed? Because that's usually with me. I'm stressed. I'm tired. I've worked all day. Then my three-year-old comes and wants me awake for, you know, another 3 hours and I just want to go to sleep. What am I trying to do to keep myself up? Or is it, you know, something celebratory and it's actually a party and I want to eat a little bit of cake, you know, something like that that's going on. Can I actually eat before I go? Knowing that there's going to be a lot of my favorite junk food there. So that way I don't feel like I have to overindulge. So you can look at it like that. But the biggest thing is, why are you eating it? If you don't know why you're eating it, then it's kind of hard to make other avenues to where you can have a healthier options. Like I said, for me, it's been, it was more stress related. I was a Coca-Cola drinking girl, Dorito eating girl. so that was my go-to junk food or drinking soda pops. So I even tell people I've been soda free for maybe going on 6 years now, but it's still that temptation there because every time I hear someone open a drink and you know that sound that you hear. And it still triggers something in my mind. But then I go back and to say to myself, okay, I know if I have one sip, that I'm going down. So there's no way I'm going to do that. And I like my goal in my health is higher than that sip of Coca-Cola now. So if you don't dig deep to actually figure out what's going on inside of yourself, no matter what people tell you to do, you're not going to change because you're always going to give in because you're just like, oh, well, I just want to do it. I'm just going to do that. But usually there's a deeper reason of why you're doing that, knowing that it's sabotaging your health. If you look deeper, you'll end up getting over the hump. Like I said, you may not always be 100% successful, but you'll get, you know, further down to where you don't give in each and every time.
Yeah. Now, I'm really glad actually that you mentioned the fizzy drinks because I was similar to yourself. I had a big addiction to fizzy drinks, similar mm-hmm. to yourself, Coca-Cola, Pepsi. And the first step I took was to downgrade to the Diet Pepsis or the Diet mm-hmm. Colas or the sugar-free mm-hmm. option.
The
Coke Zero, yeah. And then more recently, I'd say over the last 6 months or so, I've switched it completely now to, you know, in supermarkets, you can get these sparkling waters that are flavored.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did that too. Mm-hmm.
I find that to be quite a good substitute because it still mm-hmm. gives me that hit of mm-hmm, fizzy mm-hmm. sensation when you're drinking
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It doesn't give the same rush as a sugar rush, of course, but right. I find for a split few seconds, it gives me that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to describe, you know, that sense of
I know what you mean. I tell you, I was a Coke drinker. I know what you mean. I can still feel it.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's been working for me. However, I haven't actually researched into it myself as to the benefits or like, are there benefits for sparkling flavored waters or because I know there are ingredients in there. Such as it's not sugar, but they have other flavors in there, sweeteners, I believe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's your experience with sweeteners? Like from your experience of a plant-based diet, can sweeteners be a viable option for people looking to cut out sugar?
So if you're looking to cut out sugar, totally, probably not, because it still hits that same type of receptor. Right. It could be still a transition point. So I always tell people, look for that transition point because it can actually help you because it's still going to be sweet to your taste buds. So you want to try to gear away from those artificial sweeteners. You want to do things that are more natural sweeteners. And I don't mean natural from like the company took the apple and made it deep down and then changed it to a sweetener. No, maybe you actually use the fruit to sweeten your water. So orange slices, things like that. It's still a transition point. And like I said, because that's been my experience, I've done all these things. I try to transition doing, like I said, the Coke Zeros instead of the regular Coke. Splenda options, things like that. But again, it's going to still reinforce to your body that it's sugar because that's all your body cares about. Is it sugar? Is it not? So it's going to continue to reinforce, especially if you already have a sweet tooth. It's going to be hard unless you just totally cut out the sugar. That's not meaning cut out like the fruits and vegetables that are naturally sweet. Your body uses those a little bit different, but anything that's artificial, you're still going to be reinforcing that to your brain. So I would still, I mean, it's better than probably, you know, the regular soda. But again, you don't want to stay on that for 10 years before you actually just go to, water flavored with fruit.
No, that's an interesting point you raise. I never thought about it like that, actually. And it makes complete sense. Even if I'm consuming these sparkling flavored drinks, like you said, it's still giving me that feeling of a sweet taste, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the reason, maybe why I'm finding it difficult then to start reducing chocolate intake, because even when I'm having sweeteners, I'm still getting that rush, so to speak. Yeah, interesting. Never thought about it like that.
I know. It's a journey. We keep learning, and we keep, that's why when we move along the spectrum, we don't necessarily go all the way back to where we were before, but we may backslide a bit, but it's not all the way back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, really interesting. Yeah, definitely giving me food for thought. So thank you again. I want to bring the conversation back to the plant-based diet, because certainly here in the United Kingdom, and I'm sure where you are in the States as well, it seems to have gained significant popularity, I'd say, over the last handful of years. In supermarkets now, we're seeing a lot of produce, a lot of products, a lot of brands bringing out what they say are plant-based options. When you're shopping in a supermarket, because you see a big selection of plant-based options, I'm certain that there are some products out there which aren't as good as they say they are. So the first question, Shu, is, would you agree with that? If so, how can we start differentiating between what's good and what's not so good on the supermarket shelves?
So I would say, when we actually look at what the benefits of the plant-based diet would be, it's still the whole food. Again, I do some of the plant-based substitutes myself, but it's still going to be highly processed. And I tell people, just look at the ingredients. Most of the ingredients we're not going to understand. They're going to be very scientific based. They're going to be still full of sugar, salt, and fat. I would say that most of the things in the supermarket are geared towards selling something. They are in the business, to actually, that's their business. So the point of a business is to make money. So they're going to actually change it to what's popular at the time. So someone actually will actually purchase their item, and they can actually make money in their business. So ingredient list is absolutely number one. So if you look at that, and one is more than five ingredients, or the ingredients you couldn't necessarily pull off the shelf or, you know, make in your own home, it's probably not going to be the healthy option. That's the easiest thing. And most of them are not. Again, you can use them as a transition point from what you were eating before, if you are heavy on the meat, so you don't feel like you're giving it up totally, but still, the goal is still to eat those whole fruits and vegetables. So you don't necessarily have to have a label. It will be one ingredient. An apple is just an apple. It's nothing added to it.
Yeah. And whenever I think about a plant-based lifestyle, I always think it's a lot easier to cook your meals yourself with natural ingredients. Why go for the, as you said, the processed options, which are available on the supermarket shelves? And that's what I love about the idea of a plant-based lifestyle, is that essentially, and I may be wrong, please correct me, but the meals that you can cook, I'd imagine, don't take as long. I could be wrong with that.
I don't think that that's necessarily the case. There's still some, depending on how detailed you want to go. Like, right. I am no chef, so my meals are basic. but if you look at some of these chefs, vegan chefs, the stuff that they put together, I mean, that's a whole art and science in itself. So I take nothing away from them to actually put together those meals. That's awesome. Like that, yeah. That's still, I mean, if I try to do that, that would take me probably 2 days to make a meal like that. I get, you know, a sweet potato, some kale, and some garbanzo beans. You know, that's kind of my favorite go-to, or some lentils, you know, something that's simple for me, because like I'm a busy person. And that's usually what the plant-based options are geared towards, is for people that's like, I want to eat healthier, but I don't have time to, you know, take the time to make all these meals myself. So that's, like I said, that's a good transition point. But then once you figure out that you have a few staple things that you can make on your own, that's going to be quick, then that's when people are usually more successful. Here in the US though, they now have meal prep services that if you don't want to necessarily make it yourself, you can always hire someone to make those foods for you that are still fresh and not processed. So I tell people, if you're busy and you want to still get healthy options, you can look into those options too. So there's still ways that you can get around that. But it's still kind of hard. But again, you go back to the business of plant-based. And like you said, because it's so popular now, almost every company is going to have a plant-based option because they want a part of that market share, which yeah. is good business tactics.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, just coming back to what I said earlier, it's probably a misjudgment by myself. And I think I said that because I don't like to spend much time in the kitchen when it comes to mm-hmm. cooking. I'm the kind of person mm-hmm. who wants to make something in 10, 15 minutes. And if it takes longer, I just want to put it in the oven, let it do its stuff, and then come back in half an hour.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm like that. And I pondered on this a few weeks ago. And why mm-hmm. do I not spend time making foods which can probably taste a lot better if I spend more time on it? Mm-hmm. So my day-to-day food is very basic, 10, 15 mm-hmm. minutes. And then what I find is if I fancy something that's a bit more extravagant, then I will just order a takeout to kind of fulfill whatever craving yeah. I'm having at the time. But yeah, I don't know why I've never been that kind of person who just wants to spend a little more time in their kitchen.
Everybody's different. I'm not that way either. Like I said, there's a few, like every now and then I may get a extravagant recipe and try it. And then what do? I try to find the best way that I can decrease the time, but still make it still taste good like that. Because like I said, you have other things that you need to do in life. Like I said, I have a 3-year-old, so it's not like you have a lot of time. But then sometimes people just don't want to do it. And you try to find options that they can actually still be successful. But sometimes you just have to say, okay, what's more important? Is your health more important, or your time more important? I mean, you have to, you know, give up one sometimes for the other, but sometimes you don't have to. Like I said, you can always hire someone to cook you healthy meals.
Yeah, no, for sure. Another thing I wanted to ask you was, so since you've changed to a plant-based lifestyle, once your eating habits changed, how did you negotiate that with your family? And I ask that because, say, for example, you go to a relative's house, your family's home, or one of your brother's or sister's houses, and they're not on the same diet as you. Mm-hmm. Do they know ahead of time to prepare something for you, or do you take your own things to make with them? How does that work? I would be really interested to know.
Yeah, since I've been doing this for decades now, they already know. If I come, they better have a vegan option. We would talk about this ahead of time. And they come to my house, they're like, what's in that? What are you making? But yeah, like initially I can say, no, I was the one that was hungry. Or they would be always be like, well, we have a salad. I eat more than salad. So the family at this point in time is not that difficult to navigate. Cause like I said, this is a 16-year-old. Initially my mom was like, I'm not cooking separate. And now she's changed some of her, long-term recipes for their more vegan friendly. And I didn't even know this until I was older, but my stepfather, he has this famous spaghetti that he makes. And I always thought it was vegan. He was like, no, I just made it that way because that's how you were. And I never knew that he would put meat in there otherwise. Like, I was like, oh no, I always thought it was like this. He was like, no, I changed that for you. So I said, you put it out there for people. And I think, you know, if they want you around, they would definitely have food that you would eat. And most of the time now, people eat up all the vegan or plant-based food before they eat the meat options. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, it tastes good, it's healthy. Yeah, we know. So that's why we're doing it. But don't eat up all our food before we can have something.
That's hilarious. If you could choose one plant-based meal as your favorite, what would it be? Do you have a favorite?
I say favorite or easiest. So I would say if I had to pick that, the favorite and easiest would be like lentils and roasted Brussels sprouts. Because I've learned to get that done pretty quickly. I still probably do most of my cooking on a Sunday and batch cook because during the week I don't do hardly any at all. But I would say that would be my favorite plant-based meal and maybe add in a baked sweet potato. So like when you were saying you like just put stuff in the oven and leave it, that's what I do. Like I just prepare it, put it in the oven and forget about it for 30, 45 minutes to an hour and then come back and then just store it to eat for the week.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Manda, I know you are very busy. You've got a packed schedule. So before we end, I just want to give you the opportunity to perhaps mention anything that I haven't asked in the questions or something that you really wanted to speak about or mention. And then I will, of course, remind everyone of how to keep up with your work online.
I just want to go back and emphasize that most of the time we're not eating enough fruits and vegetables. So I would just ask people to look at what you're eating and see if you can add in some more fruits and vegetables to every single meal, because I think that's where it's going to start. And even if you have no intention of ever going 100% plant-based, if you just do that, we'll definitely be healthier over a longer period of time.
That is sound advice. Thank you so much. And just a quick reminder to everyone who is watching and listening, you can find out more about Dr. Manda Adkins online by visiting her social media platforms, which I'll remind you of now. So just remind of the spelling first, actually. So it's Dr. Amanda Adkins, that's spelled A-M-A-N-D-A, Adkins, A-D-K-I-N-S, on Instagram, at Dr. Amanda Adkins. YouTube, you can search Dr. Amanda Adkins. Facebook, which is facebook.com/Dr. Amanda Adkins. And the website, which is drAmandaMD.com. Thank you so much for listening and watching this episode of the Sabir Bharti Show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I have. Until next time, do take care of yourself. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.